We have a story this morning about something stuck in the head of Morning Edition producer Kevin Leahy, who's with us. Kevin, what is it?
Steve, it's an ad. Actually, it's a whole bunch of ads, and I hear them all the time. And I think probably a lot of people are hearing them now, especially now that football season has begun.
On FanDuel, I've won over $62,000.
Try FanDuel today, and we'll match.
This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time.
You can play when you want with the team you want.
Pick your contest, pick your team, and pick up your winnings.
You've got them memorized.
Yeah, I've heard them so many times.
These are ads for fantasy football. What's going on here?
These are ads for daily fantasy websites. This is a new form of fantasy football. They're encouraging you to play an imaginary game and bet real money on the performance of different players. And I want to tell you about this because this has become a big business, and pro sports leagues themselves have become invested in it.
When you say big business, how much money are we talking about here?
So we're talking about two companies that have become big players. Each says it's raised hundreds of millions of dollars in venture capital funding. They're giving away millions of dollars in prize money. And they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars on advertising.
Kevin, can I mention fantasy sports have been around for a long time? My brother plays them. This doesn't sound that new.
Yeah, fantasy sports in general has been around even before the internet. People used to grid it out on paper. And traditionally, they would do this among a group of friends or coworkers, and you draft your own team. You pretend that your team includes Andrew Luck or Marshawn Lynch. And then based on how those players do, you accumulate points. And you go head-to-head with your friend each week.
Oh, I might have players from 7 or 8 or 10 different NFL teams and pretend they're all on my team, okay?
Yes, and you might put a little money on the outcome.
But if this is something people can do among themselves, how are big companies getting in on the action?
These websites want to change the way that you play fantasy football. They want you to play a contest not throughout a whole year, but over a course of a day or a week or a few hours at a time. And the prize pools are huge. Every weekend, one of these companies, DraftKings, holds a millionaire maker tournament. It's $20 to enter. The company takes a little bit of that entry fee, and you can win a $2 million grand prize. So this is drawing in a lot of people who have played this traditional season-long version of this game. I wanted to talk to one of them, and I reached John Reedy from Denver, Colorado.
It's just one of those things that if you're already into fantasy sports, you will get hooked immediately. Because you get to pick something new every week. And I know that's what the commercials say, but it's really true.
He had money on the line this past Monday when the Minnesota Vikings played the San Francisco 49ers. But it was not money on the outcome of the game or the point spread. Instead, it's based on how one individual player performs versus how another individual player performs. So we asked John to do some play-by-play of his fantasy game. And I thought we needed a little NFL Films music to kick this off.
So here's one thing I'm sweating out in the late game. I have Adrian Peterson, which I'm not thrilled about. Don't really like him as a person, but he's a great fantasy asset. The person that is closest to me in this small tournament has Carlos Hyde. There's a 7-point difference. If Carlos Hyde has a better game than Adrian Peterson, then I will probably lose.
Carlos Hyde, little penetration, boom, and then the spin move. We've seen power. We've seen acceleration by Carlos Hyde. Welcome NFL to Carlos Hyde.
And I lost, burned by Carlos Hyde right at the end there. Very frustrating, but the beauty of it is that I can try again next week.
And you heard him say next week. That's really the key here. That's the way these companies market themselves. Instant cash, instant gratification.
And if you lose, you try again.
Yeah.
There must also be some cash and gratification for the companies involved.
Yes. I talked to John Oran. He's media reporter with Sports Business Daily. And he told me DraftKings and FanDuel, the two biggest companies in this market, have spent $500 million on ads on the TV networks this year.
That's $500 million from two companies that didn't even exist 5 years ago. That's unbelievable.
So I was wondering how they had all this money for marketing. And here's the thing. Now they're raising venture capital from a lot of names that you might know.
If you take a look at the list of investors in, let's just say, FanDuel, you have the NBA, Google Capital, you have Time Warner, Turner Sports, NBC Sports, Comcast, DraftKings. If you take a look at the sponsorship deals that they've signed with individual teams, you have the Cowboys, the Patriots, the Broncos, and their investors are another who's who. You have MLB, the NHL, MLS, Major League Soccer. You have big blue chip media companies and sports leagues investing in these two companies because they see a lot of potential in daily fantasy.
Whoa. So sports leagues and teams, which have long opposed legalizing gambling on sports in any form, are investing in these companies through which people bet. Is this gambling?
You are putting up real cash, and you're winning or losing that cash based on how your players perform against another set of players spread throughout several teams. Legally, it's not considered gambling. I called Nigel Eccles. He's the CEO and co-founder of FanDuel, and he said it's a game of skill, not a game of chance. Part of the reason he was able to invent this whole industry is because of an exemption in a 2006 law regulating online gambling.
When Congress sat down to consider what was legal and what was illegal, they clearly made a distinction that fantasy sports was legal.
That's true, but here's the thing. When that law was passed in 2006, daily fantasy sports did not exist yet. And now they're big business, but the law is the same.
Well, does the CEO feel at all creepy about taking investments from sports leagues so that people can put money on the line in this way?
I asked him about this.
No. Really, from the start, we felt that it was important that we got to the point where we could have a dialogue with the leagues. I always felt good that once they understood that this was really fantasy sports for the next generation, that they would get on board with it. And so in a lot of ways, I really felt it was just a matter of time.
Okay, that's what he says. But could fantasy sports betting motivate someone to try to corrupt a real game because they've put a lot of money on the line?
And this is what the leagues refer to as the integrity of the game. This would be much harder to pull off in fantasy sports. There's just so many more moving pieces. You've got several players over several different games. You might not know what your opponent's lineup is going to look like. So the leagues clearly aren't very worried about the possibility someone might fix a game due to fantasy.
Well, with that said, what makes the leagues willing to run that risk, however small it might be, or even to run the risk of an appearance of some conflict here?
Well, I think the leagues know that fantasy players, and especially daily fantasy players, are more engaged than your average fan, and they're also going to watch games that they might not otherwise care about. I don't really have a team that I'm a diehard fan of, but if I have a little money riding on a game, I might be tuning in when I would otherwise be doing something else.
Well, Kevin Leahy, good luck this Sunday.
Thank you.
That's Morning Edition producer Kevin Leahy.